What's up, guys? It's Lauren Cottrell with the Believe Podcast Network with another week of Believe in TCU football. Guys, I'm very excited to announce that we have another host here today. I have my co-host for the rest of the season, an ex-TCU football player, John D'Arce. John, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll get going.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's me, JD, aka John D'Arce, is what I tell people. Man, I'm excited to be a part of this organization, this beautiful podcast. And I mean, it's talking TCU sports. Like, I mean, what better thing to do during the day, right? It's talk TCU sports. So I'm excited. Former TCU Horned Frog, 16-17. Before that, I played at LSU. After TCU, I played a little bit with the Broncos and kind of made my tour across the country playing football. And then I just, by the grace of God, I just fell into podcasting. I love it. I listen to interviews all day long. If you ask any of my close friends, they'll probably tell you I'm listening to somebody on YouTube. So this is a dream come true for me. And again, I'm excited to be a part of what we got going on.
Well, I'm definitely excited to have you here because, you know, I mean, I'm on the media side of everything, but it's definitely nice to have a football player who, you know, can really break everything down, and we can talk some sports here. So I guess, do you want to go ahead and cut straight into the game from Saturday?
Yeah, we can jump right into it. Let's do it.
All right, so I had my preview, obviously, before we were able to get you on here, and I'm not going to lie, my personal opinion was that TCU was going to pull out a win. Obviously, that didn't happen. Yeah. SMU won 42-34 over TCU. TCU's first loss of the season, which is sad, especially going into conference play next week.
Very true.
Especially in the 100th meeting of the Iron Skillet. And crazy that this is the first time that SMU has won back-to-back since the 1992-93 season. So it's kind of a big deal for them, kind of a big deal for the Mustangs. What did you think? What did you think about this game overall?
I mean, even the battle for the skillet, I mean, for it to be the 100th anniversary, like we always said when I was there, this is like the Super Bowl, so to speak, for Dallas versus Fort Worth. And I mean, it was a good game. It's exactly what we thought it would be. You know, I would prefer it not be a shootout with, you know, 30, 40 points. But I mean, when you plan in either of those high powered offenses where you're going super fast, like somebody's liable to score at some point. Right. So, like I said, it was a hard fought game. Saw a lot of things that, you know, I think we could have capitalized on. And I'm sure we'll get a little bit more in details here in a second. But I think for the most part, the boys fought hard, just ran out of time, you know, and that's the unfortunate part about it is that, you know, the game does go by in a hurry, especially when you're trading points back and forth. So, you know, it's a tough loss. I mean, first loss, but I think they carry this chip on their shoulder the right way next week going against Texas. I mean, we ought to have a pretty good battle next week too.
And I think it's kind of interesting that you brought up how, you know, when you played here, it was always kind of like going into the Super Bowl for you guys. That's really interesting because I feel like from a fan and media perspective, we almost think that, you know, SMU isn't in the Big 12. You know, after their death penalty sentence back in the late 80s, that it really just isn't that big of a rivalry. Like, fan-wise, we just think that, you know, there's bigger ones like Texas and Baylor and bigger conferences. So that's interesting that you say that. And, you know, and I even heard Coach P say that he believes that SMU wanted it more, and that's kind of what led to the demise. But, yeah, I guess, do you want to expand a little bit on that about, like, how the players feel about this game going into it?
Yeah, I mean, you're totally correct. Like, obviously there's bigger rivals out there. I think to agree with you with, you know, Baylor and Texas being two of them. I mean, even West Virginia, Oklahoma as well. I mean, it's almost like we got a rival with everybody for the most part. But I agree with Coach P, man. I mean, at the end of the day, and I was telling some of my younger kids this the other day, some younger football players, like, with football, it's like, it's black and white. It's like the guy that really wants it the most and that's willing is going to win it every time. And so it doesn't matter, you know, about talent, doesn't matter about speed, height, weight, none of that. It's whoever decides to win on that particular play is going to win. And I think they left a lot of plays, and I say they, TCU, I think TCU left a lot of plays out there that they could have won. And ultimately, we would have, I think we would have won the game. But, it's so tough to, pick and point at like which play could have made the difference. Because every play makes a difference, right? Like field goal that's made after a touchdown makes a difference, or whether you score after you pick up a fumble or an interception makes a difference. Like so many different plays that make a difference in a game. But going back to my original point, like even what Coach P said, just the guy that wants it more is going to win. And unfortunately, they wanted more plays than TCU did.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just going right into it, I always like to talk about the offense first, kind of what they did, what they didn't do, and you placed it on that there wasn't one specific, play that really led to our loss this past Saturday. But there are a lot of things, like a lot of collective things that definitely led to that. And I guess starting off with our offense, Max Duggan had an okay game, 276 yards, but his two fumbles in the second quarter are kind of almost what put us behind. We weren't able to get those. Like you said, it was a shootout in the beginning, and we weren't able to keep up with that, which is, it put us behind, and there was really no coming back from that afterwards. So yeah, I guess what's your opinion on the offense from this past weekend?
I agree with you. Those two fumbles they definitely hurt. They definitely hurt because whether you lose possession or not, like that's 5 yards, depending on where you fumbled at, whether it's fumble snap, it's fumbled out of bounds, whatever, like it's a loss of yards. And so they kind of put you behind when it comes to, talking, staying on schedule with the chains, first and 10, second and 10, third and 10, stuff like that. So I think, those two mishaps definitely were not helpful. But I'll say, just looking at some numbers here, and I'm on the ESPN app just looking at stats. I mean, 50% on third down. For those listening, third down is like one of the most important plays of football. Like if you don't truly understand all the technicalities of football, if it's third down, I guarantee you something important is about to happen. And we were 50%. That's not bad. 6 out of 12. Put the ball in the air a lot, but we didn't have many completions, I'll say. There were some missed passes, whether they were dropped or whether, we were inaccurate with the pass. I mean, either way, we got to connect down the field, right? Zach Evans does an amazing job. I mean, he's an amazing player, and he seems to be the lightning in the bottle for us. But for football fans out there and guys and former players, like we understand, like when it comes to offense, both parts of the offense have to be clicking, the rushing and passing. And I think that's just kind of where we kind of got hung up at. We didn't have as many rushing yards as we normally would or should, and we didn't have as many completions as we normally would or should. So all that stuff plays an effect. Like I said before, no one play makes the difference on the game. But it's tough. It's tough. I mean, 446 yards total is awesome, but it's not so good when you could have, done a lot better. You could have rushed for more yards. You could have made some more completions. And then as far as I think one of the bigger things that kind of gets brushed over is the penalty yards that they had. They had 61 yards in penalties. And I mean, think about that. I mean, even if you split it up 30 for rushing, 30 for passing helps those numbers. And so, when you got penalties and stuff like that, and you turn the ball over, like it just creates a downhill, pattern for your offense. So they just got to clean
Just
it up.
something you can't come back from after that, after so
Yeah,
many.
absolutely. After so many, it's just like, yeah, we got to toss this one up and go to the film and figure it out from there.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, the connectivity was kind of something that, our offense has had, or receivers and, Duggan has had an issue with for the first three games, more so Cal and SMU now, because I mean Duquesne was pretty much a blowout. But yeah, that connectivity downfield and his accuracy and just connecting with those receivers downfield is something that our offense has really struggled with, just like you said. And that's something, again, they're just gonna have to work on it and hopefully come out better once we once we, the competition's only going to go up. So once we get towards those bigger rivals, hopefully, they'll kind of figure that out. And it is still early in the season, but I'm glad you brought up Zach Evans. I think he's definitely a silver lining here in this offense. I don't want to say this because I'm gonna go ahead and ask that question later, but he had 113 rushing yards, 70 receiving, and one touchdown. And I've read a lot of articles, I always do, and there's just not one bad thing to say about the guy. I think he's just he's a really great asset to this offense, and I'm glad that he's able to be here with us and helping us out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Lauren. I mean, I was on the sideline during the game, and one of the things that stood out to me is just his leadership. He made a phrase. He said a phrase that I've never heard before. He said, little run, big run, little run, big run." And as long as I've been playing football, I've never heard it put that way. But to kind of put that in layman terms, a little run is like 3 to 5 yards, and a big run is like 10 plus, right? So if you notice the pattern in the game, it's little run, big run, little run, big run. And once he said it to me and I started watching the offense from that standpoint, I was like, okay, this kid knows something that like a lot of people don't know, or he's looking at it from a standpoint that, he understands the game. He understands when it's his time to make a play. And I mean, he clearly has a good feel for that. So yeah, I definitely think he's by far the silver lining in TC's offense.
Well, I think, going off of that, I think knowledge is power when it comes to football. I not a big fan of the guy, but I'll relate it to Tom Brady. It's okay. But I mean, like, he's a great quarterback, hands down, but his knowledge of the game is just insane, and that's what gets him, that's what makes him just this amazing quarterback and this amazing leader. And I think that's the same with Zach Evans. He's a great leader, and he's a great player, but the knowledge of the game and knowing what's going to come next, and that's really what's going to get you ahead, when it comes to football.
Without a doubt, it's playing the next play is what is a term I heard before. It's like playing the next play. Like obviously, you know what play you're about to run, right? You know what you need to do to execute, but you're already thinking next play, next play, next play. And like you said, I mean, all hats off and caps off to the GOAT, Tom Brady. I mean, I think he does it better than anybody in understanding like that next play mentality. So yeah, man, I mean, they got something special in Zach for sure. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And I think we should switch over to our defense now.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about our defense. We started off slow. You could see that, the defense started to pick up there in the second quarter. And, in my opinion, I think we kind of lost him again in the second half. I think we have a lot of really great guys, but I think, that communication, and again with the offense, the connectivity was just kind of something that was lacking in this game. I don't know. What do you think? What are your opinions on that too?
The defense. I think obviously losing some big guys on defense last year is a huge thing, right? And Wallow and Trey, like that's huge. That's the middle of your defense and your captain on the back end of the defense. So losing those two guys are definitely holes in your defense. But also, I believe that the defensive line had a couple of guys out. Had like two or three starters out, and so that puts a lot of stress on your linebackers who have to make play after play after play, when you really can't get, a stop up front. And I mean, just looking at it, SMU had 350 rushing yards. So obviously, there's something going on between the linebackers and the defensive line that's got to be figured out. But like you said, I mean, I think there's points in the game where there was miscommunication. There were guys that aren't really used to being in those situations and having to make those plays because of the youth on the back end. But, I think that on the upside of it is that Coach Pete understands that. He sees that. He knows that. And he's been in this situation before. So for those guys to get better week in and week out, I think they're only going to get better, just because Coach Pete demands that. He's the only defensive coach I know that knows the offensive play before it's called, like based on how the guys are lined up. And so, I think once the younger guys on defense start to see the game from Coach P's standpoint, they're going to be able to make plays a lot quicker, a lot faster, and be more aware of when it's their time to make a play. So, like I said, they got a lot of things to clean up. Got to get some guys back healthy. But like I say, I see this group going up, only up from here. Because, like you said, the competition is only going to get better. And I know Coach P is going to crack down a little bit harder. So, I mean, they got their hands full for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. And TCU kind of is known for their reputation on defense, I think. And it's rare for TCU to allow a non-conference team to, rack up more than 400 yards on their offense. But it has happened already twice for us this season, which is a little disappointing. But again, it is like you just said, it's about those reps. And I think the more they get going this season, hopefully they'll start to connect a little bit more and definitely figure out kind of what Coach P's thinking, because he's always thinking. But I kind of saw something that it was a little interesting to me. They our defense this week, kind of made SMU's running backs and wide receivers look like All-American players. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I agree with you. Like, guys running free, guys breaking what we call explosive plays. So, depending on what team you're part of, an explosive play is any play on offense that's more than 25 yards. And SMU had plenty of those. And so, when you think about it, though, I'm not necessarily sure if SMU just has those guys this year, that they have guys that can play, or if that was just a huge lack in communication on defense, you know? I mean, all hats off to Coach Dykes and his crew over there. I mean, they have a pretty good team from what I saw. Like, there's, obviously I'm biased, but, if we call in a spade, like, their team is pretty good. Like, they were able to execute, and that's what matters at the end of the day. You know, can you execute when it's your turn? And they definitely had guys that could do it. So, it's not something that we normally see, for sure. It's not. But every dog has his day, as they say. Every dog has his day. And unfortunately, SMU had the day on Saturday morning.
Well, and I kept saying too that I really thought this game was going to come down to the defense. I thought on offense, on paper at least, I thought our offenses were pretty neck and neck. I thought it was going to be, which in the first half it was with the shootout and stuff, and there were a few things that led to our getting behind, I guess. But I think it really did come down to the defense on this game. And you bringing up Coach Dykes and stuff, I saw him say something that. They've kind of been underappreciated almost and overlooked ever since, like I said, their death penalty in the 80s. And that's just something that he's trying to overturn. And I think they have done a really good job. And people just, I think one of the biggest things for us is that people almost just don't expect it from SMU. But over the past few years, they have been getting really good, and they do have a great offense. And I think it's just, overall, it was a really good game, and props to them for, showing up and coming out and getting what they wanted. But yeah, I think people definitely do overlook that team.
Yeah, they. I agree. I would definitely say that they're overlooked a lot of the time, and but they do put out NFL talent at the end of the day. It's always somebody from their school that's either getting drafted or getting picked up or something like that. So definitely hats off to Coach Dykes and his crew. But I mean, even us talking about that, I think it brought up something in my mind, and I want to ask you from a fan standpoint because I know how I feel about it as a player, as a former player. But I'm curious as to what you think from a fan standpoint. Like, what do you think about the morning games, like TCU morning games? Do you think the energy is the same? Do you think, like, the motivation is there to play? Like, what do you see, like, as a fan?
No, and it's funny, like we are at home, and so at home advantage is a big thing in football. And this doesn't have to do with the team. I'll get to the team after, but I mean, my mom came to the game this weekend, and she was kind of saying something about how SMU had this really small student section, and how they were on the other side of the field from her, and we have the entire 50 to both 40s, kind of 35-yard line entirely filled up with our student section. And she was saying that she could hear the SMU kids over TCU. And that does have a big effect. I mean, I guess correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that has a big effect on, you know, how the football team reacts almost too. You know, if their fans don't have the energy, they're not going to have the energy. You know, but I definitely do think that the 11 a.m. games bring a different energy. It's early. It's you know, you don't really have time to prep yourself. You get out of bed and you go. Where I feel like, you know, the 7 p.m. games, it's prime time. People are like, you know, let's do this. Let's go. We've been prepping all day. Even the 2:30 games, you have a little bit of time to prep yourself. And but yeah, I definitely do see a different energy with the 11 a.m. games, which will be interesting because we have an 11 a.m. for Texas next week too.
Right. We get it right back to back, man. And just so people know, like from a player standpoint, it is not easy preparing for 11 o'clock game. I'll never forget my first one. I had just transferred from LSU, and you know LSU is on primetime TV every weekend, whether it's 3 o'clock or whether it's 7 p.m. So like I'm after 12, like I'm good, you know, but we're waking up. I get to TCU. We got 11 o'clock game against, I think we played Baylor, or SMU, one or two. And I got to get up at like 7 and get ready to play a ball game. And it's like, it's a mental battle. I can't lie, it's a mental battle. But you know, it's just one of those things that comes with the territory. And to allude to the point that you said, I agree with your mom. Like I definitely heard SMU's student section far more than ours, and for you know for obvious reasons, obviously they're winning, right? But you know I think with the expansion of the stadium, the amount of people that we can now hold, and with COVID pretty much not existing in ball games, I would expect that you know this Saturday at 11 a.m. the place should be standing room only, and like it should be action packed loud. So yeah, man, it's those 11s are different. They're a little different.
Well, especially with who we were playing too. I
Right,
think, I mean, it's not like we were playing Duquesne at 11 a.m. I mean, I think I know Duquesne was our first bat from COVID, but I saw more energy then, and I know it was a 7 p.m. game, but you know, I saw more energy for Duquesne than I did for our giant iron skillet rivalry that we haven't had in 2 years. So, yeah, I think that's
Absolutely.
interesting that you brought that up.
Oh yeah. So they'll figure it out. They got it. They got another one. So they gotta figure it out some kind of way, put it together. So we'll
For
see.
sure, for sure. And John, I always like to ask, who in your opinion was the MVP on offense for TCU this week?
I think it goes without saying, and Zach Evans. I mean, the kid can do a lot, and TCU has been really good about finding running backs like that. Even before I got there, AJ Green and all those guys that were there, and then when I was there, it's Kyle Hicks, it's Jett Anderson, Shea Woe. Like they've always figured out how to get these very versatile backs. And I mean, it's right up. It's the same with Zach, you know, exact same way. Like Zach can get out in space. You know, he can catch, he can run, he understands vision, he know how to set up blocks. And one thing I was excited to see is him break away from people, you know, that breakaway speed, right? Because anybody can catch a ball or run a ball, break one tackle, and go get 20 yards, right? But for somebody to do all of that and then break away from the defense and score, like that's a playmaker. And I definitely think Zach, you know, by far earns that right this week as the MVP.
Absolutely. I'd have to agree with that. You know, not to be blunt, or I guess to be blunt, but you know, I think he was definitely the one of not the only good thing coming out of our offense this game, but definitely one of the best or the best coming out of our offense this game. So, I guess moving on to our defensive MVP. I had a tie.
Yeah, a tie.
I had a
Okay, this is
tie.
interesting.
I know. In the first half, I'd have to go with D Winters. I think he really showed up. Had some really good stops. He had that first pick there. But you know, kind of overall, and in the second half, I have to go with Wyatt Harris.
Both linebackers. I'll take that.
Yes.
I'll take that.
Yes. Yeah.
They had to make a lot of plays on Saturday. A lot of tackles, a lot of plays. And I don't disagree with that. I definitely will say that both of those guys, if they were in their best game, it was up there in top, you know, top performances or whatever. Because like I said, they were all over the field. And I mean, I understand when one linebacker gets an interception, but when both of them get one, yeah, you got some problems in there that the offense will have to deal with at some point, man. So yeah, I can't disagree. I can't disagree with those two guys.
Which, you know, is actually kind of interesting for me because I think Tanner Mordecai has really showed himself, you know, this season so far with SMU, and I think, I mean, you know, he's the leading quarterback with touchdown passes now at 20 after this past game, already for the season, and they're 4 games in. But, you know, it definitely says something that he threw 3 interceptions in 1 game. So that's tough. That's interesting. But that's kind of
It
something, I
is.
mean, you know, they're gonna have to figure out. But you know, something kind of interesting that I wanted to talk to you about, with everything going on with Big 12 expansions and UT and OU leaving for the SEC here in a few years. Why, in your opinion, do you think that we didn't kind of look into SMU coming into the Big 12?
That's a good question. That is a really, really good question, to be honest. And not that I know like a lot about it, but this is just my opinion. I think that money has a lot to do with it. Ticket sales, attraction. They got the NIL now, name, image, and likeness. That plays a part in it. Marketing plays a part in it. So like I think that there's a lot of pieces that go into choosing who's in what conference. And not that SMU isn't talented enough. I just think in some other areas they kind of lack or they don't match the expectations or
I think facilities
whatever.
especially as well.
Yes. Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt, man. It's just some things that don't necessarily, I won't say doesn't qualify them, but things that'll be frowned upon compared to other teams in the Big 12. But I mean, I don't know. I think they could survive for the most part. I think they could survive.
Well, after what we saw on Saturday, they might be able to.
Most
And
certainly.
I guess last question here that you know, I was kind of thinking about. What do you think, in your opinion, do we need to work on as a whole team? You can either do defensively, offensively, before we go into conference play next week.
I think above all else, even before offense and defense, I think above all else, I think the leadership needs to be taken up a notch. And that's hard to ask, out of a young guy who hasn't played a lot, or even a guy who has played every snap since he showed up on campus. I just think there needs to be a better vocal and obviously showing example of a leader on the team. And typically that comes from your senior class, but sometimes it can come from younger guys too, depending on what kind of respect he has from the team. But I think leadership first and foremost. Offensively, I just think that we got to find those connections on the outside with the receivers. I mean, Zach is an amazing talent. He can do it all, apparently. But when you get deeper into the season, those hits start kind of adding up, you never play 100%. It doesn't, it don't matter who you are. Like the minute you put on pads, you get hit for the first time, like that number goes down and it goes down fast depending on what position. But we got to get some connections with the receivers. So whatever Max and the guys got to do to figure it out, they got to figure it out pretty quick because these next couple games going into conference is going to be a test for sure. Defensively, it's just like you said earlier, the guys just getting reps, the guys locking in, the guys seeing the game from Coach P's standpoint or viewpoint, because we know, or I know, Coach P probably watches more film than anybody that I've met. And I think once those younger guys kind of get on that same wave, same system, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They'll come up with some big stops. But like I said, those young guys just gotta learn a little bit faster and just play a lot more comfortably, if that makes sense, not thinking so much, just play comfortably. So, leadership, connections with the receivers, and then younger guys just getting their reps.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with all of that, and I guess, you know, kind of going off of the connections on the offense, I think, I've always thought I'm a huge Cowboys fan. I've always been an Ezekiel Elliott fan, and I think something that kind of led to Ezekiel Elliott having a tougher time in his sophomore year and years after that is that he's just so well known now, and the defenses really look at him, and I think that's definitely something that the defenses in the Big 12 are going to start looking at Zach Evans as our star player, and they're going to start really deeply looking at him and seeing what he's going to do. And I feel like if they don't start connecting with those receivers and using them a little bit more, that he could become I don't know the word for it, I guess known, like they're going to kind of know what he's going to do,
He's the target. He's definitely gonna be the target. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, and you see that a lot though. Like you said, even with the Zeke situation, like the Cowboys are definitely they're figuring it out now that you got to have guys on the outside like Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Like you got to have guys out there that can make plays too. So the defense, can never really know what's coming. But I know TCU have that. I know they have guys like that. Tay Barber obviously has been there for a while, and all the D Davis, obviously Q Johnson. Like they got guys on the edge that can make plays. It's just a matter of getting them the ball a little bit more and keeping that defense, on their toes.
Oh, for sure. I had huge hopes for Quentin Johnston this season. I think he's a really great player. And I think he's open quite a lot of times downfield there. But again, it's the connecting. It's really the connecting, and it's the leadership that you talk about. So yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think those are some things that they could work on this week, and hopefully we'll shine bright next week against UT.
Oh yeah. We got to, man. We got to
I
put those
know.
Longhorns to bed, man.
I
Got to put them to
know.
bed. Have
Come
to.
on, for 3 years in a row, we got to do it. Especially
Yeah,
after
yeah. It only
losing.
feels right.
I know. Especially after losing to Arkansas
Yes.
and they're about to go to the SEC, we got to show them up. All right, guys. Well, we want to thank
Go
you
ahead and say it
so
again. Give it a
much.
bad tip.
What'd you say?
I said, yeah, we definitely want to send them off to the SEC on a bad note for
Oh,
sure.
yeah.
So,
Oh, for
yeah,
sure.
we got to take care of that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, we want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, TCU is facing off at home next week at 11 p.m. or sorry, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at Amon-G Carter Stadium against the University of Texas. It is TCU's first conference game this season, coming off of our first loss. It's going to be an interesting game. You can go ahead and tune in on Friday to hear me and John's preview slash predictions of this game. We can't wait to see you guys back. Again, drop any comments or opinions that you guys have below. And we want to thank you guys for tuning in.